In the name of Jesus. Lord, we praise you and we thank you tonight. We thank you for your presence by the Spirit of God. And Lord, I ask that you give me utterance as I speak your word tonight, faithfully in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I was just thinking this week that it's what people value that they'll display in their words and their actions. For example, if they value the Word of God, they will show that in their words and actions. In other words, they'll put the Word of God in front of their eyes, as the Scripture tells us, and allowing it into their ears. So they will desire to, for example, hear preaching. They will desire to attend church and so on. So we know that there has to be changes amongst many Christians and many people who have, for example, been to churches but through whatever have left through offence or whatever. But, you know, Jesus is the one we value. The Bible calls his blood precious, and he himself is called precious as well. And we have to put value on the things of God. So tonight we're looking at why Christians fail to receive. Now it does come down to do we value the things of God? It comes right down to that. Do we value the things of God? Because a person can be a Christian and live a completely defeated life. But is that the will of God for us to live a defeated life? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll look at a couple of verses here. Verses 57 and 58. And this shows us the will of God for us. The will of God is not for us to fail to receive. The will of God is not for us to have a defeated life. But we've got to see what the will of God is. And if we see what the will of God is, then we'll know that if we're failing to receive, then there's something we have to deal with. There's something we have to do. It's not God's fault, in other words. So 1 Corinthians 15, 57 and 58 says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord." So we should be thanking God for the victory, according to verse 57. And it's the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So God doesn't want us to be defeated. He wants us to go through life defeated. And there's many, many other scriptures I could go through. But I'm going to go through a few reasons why Christians fail to receive. The first one we'll look at is failure to keep the commandment of God, and specifically the love commandment. Let's look at John 13, verses 34 and 35. You see, some people act as though they could just do anything and the Lord will bless them anyway. But that's not the case at all. If you were to examine the scriptures about blessing, you will see that there are certain things that we are commanded to do. We're not to be people that are disobedient. Those in the world, the backsliders and so on, they're disobedient. And of course, by doing that, they're sowing wrong seeds, aren't they? They're sowing the seeds of disobedience. And what do they get in their life? They reap the consequences of that, which is the curse. John 13, verses 34 and 35 says, "A new commandment," this is Jesus speaking, "a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another." Now, we won't turn to it, but there's a scripture that says, "Faith which worketh by love." So if you're not obeying this commandment of love, love one another, and he says in verse 35, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." If that commandment is being disobeyed, then your faith is going to be undermined. It's going to be difficult for you to receive, because your spiritual direction will be skewed. It'll be, in other words, not focused on the right things. But we have to be people that, and it's not related to feelings. You know, you might not, you might feel, oh, that person's done something wrong to me. It's related to, do you value the words of the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you value His words? Do you value Him as the Master? And if you do, then Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And that's an important thing to know. That if you, well, go to John 14, verse 15. John 14, verse 15. We'll look at verses 14 and 15. Verses 14 and 15 of John 14, verses 14 and 15. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. So his desire is for you to ask anything in his name, and he'll do it. And then back to back there, you could see in verse 15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. So there's a test there, isn't it? You know, we meet up with many people who profess to love Christ, but they're not keeping his commandments. And his commandments are very clear. And the love commandment, love God, love one another, their commandments. If that's not obeyed, it will undermine that very thing that he says in verse 14, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. You know, we can ask the Father in the name of Jesus, and here we have a promise that he will do it. But we have to ask in faith. And what would undermine your faith? Well, what would undermine your faith is if you're not walking in love. You've got to love Jesus. You don't say, well, you know, I'll obey him if I feel like it. That's not loving him. You obey him because you value him. You obey him because you value him. And by that obedience, you come into blessing. Have a look at, in the same chapter there, chapter 14, verses 21 to 23. It says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. So you can see that Christians are to have God's commandments and keep them. And it says, by doing that, you're showing that you love Jesus. You're showing that you love Jesus. So what about those who are worldly, those who are compromising with the world? You know, the Bible's very much against that type of compromise, isn't it? Romans 12 says, be not conformed to this world. Is that obeying the Lord if you're conformed to the world? Obviously not. So our love for God is not based on does it feel right? It's based on what do I value? Do I value the Lord Jesus Christ? Do I value his words? Okay. There are people that should be here, even tonight. But what are they valuing? What are they valuing? To value the word of God, to value the Lord, to value the church, which Jesus paid with his own blood, is so very, very important if we are to demonstrate the love that we have for God, for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says in verse 21, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, it's not Iscariot, so it's the other Judas, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will what? Keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. So many Christians fail to receive because they're not really interested in keeping God's words. They don't value it enough. They don't value the words of God enough. They don't value the words of Jesus. Jesus said, that if you build your life on his words, you'll be like the man that built his house upon a rock. The rock is valued by the builder because it's a firm foundation. The words of Jesus must be valued in our life. It's a firm foundation upon which blessing can come into our life. Have a look also at 1 John 3, verses 22 to 24. What are we valuing? And as I said right at the very beginning, if we value something, it will be reflected in our words and actions. It'll be reflected in our words and actions. If we don't value it, it won't be reflected in our words and actions at all. 1 John 3, and we're looking at verses 22 to 24. 1 John 3, 22 to 24. And that's what it says here. Well, actually, go to verse 21 first of all. We'll start from verse 21. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. So your heart is your inner man. Your heart is your inner man. And it says, if your heart condemns you not, in other words, if your heart is right toward God, and one of these areas is, of course, obeying the Lord. Look, there are people who, they know they're not obeying the Lord. And they make all types of excuses for it. And what they need to do is get on their knees and repent and say, Lord, I've missed it. Forgive me. And you know, the Lord is merciful. He'll forgive them because he wants to bless them. He wants to bless all of his children. But he can't bless disobedience. He can't bless disobedience. So, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Do you think you need confidence toward God to receive from God? Yeah? You need confidence toward God to receive from God. And that's what it says in the very next verse, isn't it? And, so that connects to what we just read, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because, that's the word because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Verse 24, and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him, and hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. So there's a few things here. But do you know, verse 22 is a wonderful key scripture to finding out why, if it is a problem, why you're not receiving or failing to receive from God. Because it says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Because we keep his commandments. In other words, your heart will be clear. You're not allowing things of rebellion to get in the way. You esteem the Lord. You don't lightly esteem him. You don't show by your actions that you despise his word or his ways or his people or his church. And do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So you have to walk by faith, don't you? Because it's faith that pleases the Lord, according to Hebrews 11 verse 6. So we see that the first major reason why Christians fail to receive is the failure to keep the commandment and to value the things of God enough to do so. Now, if that's a problem in your life, you have to get it fixed, because it doesn't matter. You may have had this problem for years. Well, here's a solution for you. Here's a solution. And I said before, some people, they need to get on their knees and say, Lord, I have not been serious for you. I've been doing things according to my own way. But I repent of that. I'm going to go your way from now on. Now, certainly the backsliders need to do that. And there's many people in churches who, for various reasons, they're they're not getting the best from God because of these things that they're not valuing. And so, you know, you'll have even people in churches backbiting their brothers or sisters, or speaking against the ministry and things like that. And then they wonder why they're not receiving from God. Well, we see the answer in these scriptures, don't we? The next area why Christians fail to receive, and you've heard it before, is lack of knowledge of the Word of God. You can't receive what you don't know. You know, there's a lot of people that could receive healing, but they don't know anything about what the Scripture says about healing. So what's the solution for that? Well, the Bible says to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. So you have to study the Word of God. You have to make the Word of God a priority. You have to put it in your ears. You have to put it into your eyes. You have to pay attention to it. There's many scriptures that talk about that. But let's have a look at Hosea 4 verse 6. Hosea 4 verse 6. You know, lack of knowledge of the Word of God is a significant problem amongst Christians. And it doesn't help that many churches have gone to the lowest common denominator in terms of a low standard of what they'll accept in the preaching, in the teaching, in the study, and so on. You know, a long time ago, the Lord said to me, do not dumb down the scriptures. Do not dumb them down. Present the Word of God that the people may come up to the level of the Word of God. Okay? And the more you have of the Word in you, the more you're going to have, as the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The more faith is going to come within you to receive what the Word says you can have. Okay? But if you remain ignorant of it, you'll go into this state of perishing. And Hosea 4 verse 6, notice what it says here. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Well, that's a sad situation, isn't it? Is it because the Lord's holding back knowledge? Has he held back knowledge? No, the Bible says that he has put overseers into his church by the Holy Ghost to feed the flock of God. To feed. What's he feeding? What are the overseers feeding the flock of God with? The Word. The Word. The Word. The Word of faith, which we preach. Isn't that what the Scripture tells us? So, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. That thou shalt be no more priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. You see, you reap what you sow. If you forget, and this is why it's so very, 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 very important, that if things happen to you in your life, you don't turn your back on God. Even if they seem to be disastrous things, the worst thing you can do is say, well, I'm giving up on God. That's the worst thing you can do. The best thing you can do is to get more into the Lord, more into Him. Dig deeper into Him. The Bible says, draw nigh unto me and I will draw nigh unto you. God says that as you press in towards Him and His Word and His ways, He'll draw near to you. He'll make Himself more and more real to you. And certainly I've found that in my life, that even though I've gone through some disastrous things in the past, I have not made a decision to leave the Lord, but to get to press more into Him. And so, you know, let that be an encouragement to you, because that has helped me no end. Yet there are many who, you know, something happens to them and they leave church, or they leave the Lord. You wonder just what did they value, if ever. You know, I've heard of even people that have been youth pastors that have now turned and become atheists. Things like that. You know, this is a sad state of affairs. What has to happen, of course, is the word must be held to be valued. The ministry must be held to be valued. The ways of God must be held to be valued. And the more you value God's knowledge, the more you're going to have the opposite of being destroyed. You're going to have what? Being built up. Isn't that right? Being built up. But here it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Is that God's fault? Is that God's fault? Do you think there's no knowledge around that we can take and put into our hearts now? Is there anyone here that thinks that there's no knowledge that we could get about the Lord? I certainly hope that you're not thinking that. Because the Lord has put into his people's hands, he's put into his people's hands everything they need to be built up, to be strengthened, to go forward. Have a look at Acts 20, verse 32. Now, if you know the word of God, if you know the word of God, it will build you up. If you don't know the word of God, you'll be destroyed for lack of knowledge. See, that's what the devil is banking on, that you don't know the word. But if you don't know the word, how can you use the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God? How can you speak the word? How can you do what Jesus did? And we're supposed to walk like Jesus. He said, it is written, in answer to what the devil was saying. But here we see in Acts 20, verse 32, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified, separated from the world and separated unto God. Notice that the word of his grace, the word of God, is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance. Let me just repeat that. The word of God, the word of his grace, his favour, his enabling, it's able to build you up and to give you an inheritance. What happens if you don't know about his word? What happens if you don't put any priority on his word? What happens if you don't put any value on his word? Can you be built up and receive the inheritance? How can you? Because you're ignorant of the knowledge of God. But God's word is able to build you up. If you go out of here with nothing else, I want you to realize that God's word is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance. God has provided his word, hasn't he? There's the knowledge of God there. Get into his word, and if he wants to tell you anything more, he will by his spirit. But you've got to get prayerfully into the word of God. It's able to build you up and to give you an inheritance. What's in that inheritance? What did Jesus pay for? What did Jesus pay for? He paid for everything that's in salvation. He paid for all the blessings of the kingdom of God. So you get into the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance. So many people, many Christians, fail to receive because of lack of knowledge of the word of God. And so they'll in fact do things that are the opposite to what the word says. You know, they'll let their mouth fly out with anything, not realizing that the word says, your words are stout against me, and things like that. Look also at Colossians 1, verses 9 and 10. We're still in this lack of knowledge of the word of God area. Colossians 1, verses 9 and 10. Notice what it says here. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled. What's that word? Filled. Not empty or filled. Filled. Filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the what? Knowledge of God. Now we read before, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So what's the solution to that? If you don't want to be destroyed for lack of knowledge of God's will, knowledge of God, what's the solution? That you be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Do you think you can increase in the knowledge of God and neglect the Word of God? Who thinks that? It's good to see no hands up. Because I'll pray for you if you put your hand up to that question. No, God wants us to be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. He wants you to have understanding. He wants you to have wisdom. He wants you to be increasing in the knowledge of God. He wants you to be able to receive from Him. But you've got to be filled. Okay? Filled with the knowledge. And you can't do that unless the Word of God is in a position. Well, the Bible says that God magnifies His Word above all His name. So does God put value on His Word? He does, doesn't He? So we should put value on the Word of God too. And that means every day you need to be digging into it. Not just as a service. The service is good to come to. You get fed with the Word of God. That's good. That's good. And you need to have hearing ears as well when you come to hear the word of faith, because you need to come and mix the hearing with faith, don't you? You need to mix it with faith. And what does that mean? Mix it and say, I am going to learn of the knowledge of God. I'm going to increase in the knowledge of God. I'm going to, if I have to adjust, I'm going to change. You know, so all of this is a heart that's going to be able to receive from God. And so let's get to this other area, no integrity of the heart. Or integrity, what does integrity mean? We touched on this already. The heart is the inner man, and we talked about there has to be confidence in our heart. No integrity of the heart means that your desire to do what God wants you to do is at a low level. Have a look at Psalm 25, verse 21. Psalm 25, verse 21. You see, this is going to be a barrier to your receiving. And that is, are you going to do what is right, even if there are pressures against that? You see, the world is trying to what? What's the world system trying to do? Get you to conform to it. But the problem with that is that the world has a satanic spirit over it. It has an evil spirit, the devil, in charge of it. And so that's why we can't be conformed to the world. For people to be people of integrity, you have to do the right thing, whether you feel like it or not. Even if it feels difficult, even if it seems difficult to you, if you know what the right thing is to do according to the Word of God, you've got to do it. And if you're a person like that won't compromise, you can have people all around you saying, compromise, compromise. But you'll stand and you won't have the fear of man about it. You won't have fear about it. You'll stand in the Word of God. In fact, the Bible says, having done all to stand, stand. Okay? So standing in what the Lord wants you to have. Notice what it says in Psalm 25, verse 21. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. You know, you may have prayed, and what the Lord wants you to do is to have faith and patience. Because you may not see the manifestation of what you prayed for straight away, but that's where patience comes into it. Patience is not doing nothing. Patience is standing in the Lord, resisting the temptations to doubt, resisting the temptations to conform to the world, resisting anything that would say, oh, you're not going to get it, and stand in your integrity and uprightness. And that will preserve you. A person like that is able to receive from God because their heart is in the right place. Look over at Psalm 41, verses 11 and 12. Psalm 41, verses 11 and 12. Verse 11 is a good one to confess, by the way. By this I know that thou favourest me, because mine enemy doth not triumph over me. And as for me, thou upholdest me in mine integrity, and settest me before thy face forever. You see, this is where you've got to say, Lord, I will do the right thing according to your word, no matter what. And God's favour will be shown to you. You'll be able to receive the things from God easily. But there's many people, you know, they might even go to church, and then they go amongst the heathen, and of course all the pressures of the heathen who know nothing about God, their pressure is to go a certain way, and it's not God's way a lot of the time. You know, I've known Christians who say, well, I'm a Christian. I saw one man once, he had a Smith Wigglesworth book on his desk. But then I was in a meeting with him and he was swearing like the heathen. I'm thinking, there's something wrong here. Something's not right there. So when you're amongst the heathen, you've got to have your integrity. You've got to say, no, there are things I won't do even if the heathen do it. I have integrity. Because if you compromise, your faith will be affected. You won't be able to receive from God because you start to get into disobedience. And that goes right back to where we said failure to keep the commandments of God. Now, it's not difficult if you say, I refuse to compromise, and make a quality decision in the Lord. Praise the Lord. There are other things I could go through, but I've covered enough tonight. Why Christians fail to receive. Let's close in prayer. And I pray that tonight you've received some answers if you've had difficulty in this area. Heavenly Father, I praise you and thank you. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our midst. I praise you, Lord, for every person here. And Lord, I ask that every one of us are people that see what is to be valued in you and make that in our life a great priority. The things that you value, that you hold up high, are the same things that we do as well. Help us, Lord. Show us your way. And I pray that every one of us would be encouraged in the Lord, that you want us to have the victory. You want us to triumph. You don't want our enemies to triumph over us. You want to show us your favour. Lord, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen.